conferences with Rathkeep, the chief organizer's report on predatory contract for deed sales cast a long shadow in Chicago. Sometimes it felt like 50 years ago. That's only partially because sometimes the conversation would toggle back and forth to the work the Contract Buyers League did on Chicago's west and south sides decades ago, from the 1967 to 1972 or so, as strategies and tactics that would address the current horrid predatory comeback of contract for deed purchases were compared to the old campaign in a day-long continuing conversation between CBL veteran organizers and leaders, contemporary activists, and concerned community and clergy. It is also because we were literally sitting among the remaining survivors of the ghettoization and depopulation of North Lawndale and Austin as we met in beautifully paneled rooms in one rectory in Lawndale and slept in the former rooms of long reassigned priests in the empty floors of another rectory in Austin, managed by one priest now where eight had once lived. Real estate manipulation, financial exploitation, and banking and institutional abandonment and racism built these 21st century neighborhoods, even as we examined the great battles 50 years ago that were heroic without being a final turning point, and set among the beautiful architectural and institutional ruins of that time. Contract for deed purchases are a way that a seller buys distressed property and then exploits a buyer, a family almost invariably low and moderate income, and too often minority, by flipping the property without making repairs while extracting predatory payments at huge premiums, almost hoping for a default since there is no equity in a quick eviction process since there was no actual property transfer, allowing the seller to sell again to another victim or another greedy seller and keep the cycle going over and over. The Contract Buyers League was a campaign spearheaded by Jack McNamara, a former Jesuit seminarian then who sat with us today, and a steady stream of almost 80 college students who did stints in summers and school semesters off and on for years as volunteers to staff the research, hit the doors, and help the members put together the weekly Wednesday meetings and constant diet of pickets and actions and events. Around the table were some of those former students, including my old friends and comrade-in-arms from Acorn, SEIU, and the AFL-CIO, Mike Gallagher from Boston, Mark Splane from the Bay Area, as well as Jim Devaney, a former volunteer from Cincinnati. Former Black Panther from those days and other community leaders now tried to puzzle out how, with the reemergence of contract for deed activity in the wake of the foreclosure crisis and home lending desert for lower income and working families, we might be able to refashion a contract buyers campaign that would work and win now. It goes without saying that the day is different than 50 years ago. Rather than being concentrated in neighborhoods like Lawndale and Austin and Chicago and other cities with large minority populations then, today the victims are spread throughout the metropolitan area. We looked at a sample list of contract buyers acquired by two vulture hedge fund operators, and there were few in Chicago itself compared to working class suburbs and developments like Homewood, Hoffman Estates, and Orland Hills. How did we get the density that put hundreds in a room on a weekly basis 50 years ago? Estimates are as high as 7 million families who are under contract for deed agreements now nationally, but putting them together wouldn't be easy. We were all veteran door knockers, but we talked about how to use data files, voter lists, robo-dialers, social media, and other tools to flush out the victims and leverage the public policy and political space to create the change. There's more to be done in coming days, but two things kept returning us to the task of today. One was hearing our new friends from these communities where we were meeting, talking about how their fathers and grandmothers had bought and raised their families in contract homes. Another woman speculated that the mystery of how her sister had lost her house might have been through a contract for deed ripoff, and she left at the end of the day to call her and finally ask. And then there were the stories of the actions, lawsuits, and even some victories of 50 years ago to continue to remind us that we could only really lose if we refused to fight this plague once again. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.